Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the commission's regular meeting of June 26, 2024. Republic may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I'll take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry. Commissioner Einhorn.
Here.
Commissioner Farish.
Here.
Commissioner Fusecki.
Here.
Commissioner Goldsby Wells. Commissioner Ganswin.
Here.
Mr. Hankins.
Here.
Mr. Streeter.
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission regular meeting of June 12th, 2024. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the minutes of the June 12th, 2024 commission meeting.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusecki.
I abstain.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Abstain.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously with, we have two abstentions, is that it? Two abstentions. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First is docket number FIC 2023-0476, Ira Alston versus Chief Police Department, City of New Haven et al. Are you there, Mr. Alston?
Yes.
Okay, would you like us to mark that ready?
No, I think I withdrew that case.
You did withdraw that, so you don't have anything to say?
No.
Okay, then we'll act on it. All right?
Do I need to be here?
You do not. We will act on it right now, and you can hear what the vote is.
Oh, all right.
All right? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, this was withdrawn and dismissed. Seeing no objection to the complainant and move adoption here, Mr.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusecki.
Yes.
Mr. Ganswin.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Mr. Alston. You can hang up if you'd like.
All right.
Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0222. Matthew Harden and Energy Policy Advocates versus Attorney General, State of Connecticut, Office of the Attorney General. Is there anyone here on that matter? I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? I do note that we've been joined by Commissioner Goldsby Wells, so I'll make sure we call her. All those in favor, please say aye when I call your name. Commissioner Einhorn.
Aye.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusecki.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby Wells.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. Passes unanimously. And Commissioner Goldsby Wells, would you like to adopt the minutes that we just adopted?
Yes, I approve the commission's regular meeting minutes of June 12, 2024.
Great, mark that for the record. Thank you.
We also voted on Ira Alston.
And we also voted on matter 2023-0476, Ira Alston versus Chief Police Department, City of New Haven et al.
Yes.
You vote in favor of that?
Yes.
You mark the record. Thank you. Next is FIC 2020-0223, Matthew Harden and Energy Policy Advocates versus Attorney General, State of Connecticut, Office of the Attorney General et al. Are you there, Mr. Harden? All right, I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as in the previous case, this was withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the House report.
Mr. Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Farish.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci.
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby Wells.
Yes.
Mr. Ganswin.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0224, Matthew Harden and Energy Policy Advocates versus Attorney General, State of Connecticut, Office of the Attorney General et al. Mr. Harden, are you there? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Streeter, the hat trick here. Third one in a row in the previous two cases, withdrawn and dismissed. Move adoption of the hereafter.
Mr. Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Farish.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci.
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby Wells.
Yes.
Mr. Ganswin.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
Myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0190, Thomas J. Green versus Superintendent of Schools, Wyndham Public Schools et al. Are you there, Mr. Green?
Yes.
Would you like to be heard?
Yes, please.
Okay. Is there anyone there for the Wyndham Public Schools?
Yes, Julie Resnick on behalf of the respondents.
And you're an attorney, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll mark you. Mark that ready. Thank you. Next is docket number 2023-0334, Elijah El-Haj Bey versus Department Head Procurement, City of Hartford et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes. Attorney Danielle Combs for the respondent, City of Hartford.
Would you like to be heard?
I can be, sure. Yes.
Okay, and we'll mark it ready.
This was a dismissal, so you do
we'd act on it.
You could act on it right now.
Oh, that would be great, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Right. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing the complaints I hear, there's no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Farish.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci.
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby Wells.
Yes.
Mr. Ganswin.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. And your name is Attorney Combs?
Attorney Danielle Combs, C-O-M-B-S.
Thank you.
In place of Attorney Spies, who couldn't make it today.
Okay. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0367, Elijah El-Haj Bey versus Director, Department of Public Works, Town of East Hartford, et al.
Here.
You, Mr. Elijah El-Haj Bey?
Elijah.
Would you like to be heard on that matter?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll mark that ready. So, sir, I called your name on the last matter and you didn't respond. I don't know if you're here. I called your name on the last matter ending in 0334. Did you wish to be heard on that?
I couldn't hear you, but yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you now.
Do you wish to be heard on both matters or just the second
matter? Yes, both.
Both matters. So I'm sorry, Ms. Combs. I think, can we reopen the first matter?
Yes.
And entertain a motion to reopen the first.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move that we reopen and replace on the docket FIC 2023-0334.
Commissioner Hankins, I guess that's a second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion? All right. On the motion to reopen matter ending in 0334, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby Wells.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. Passes unanimously. So both matters are marked ready. That ending in 0334 and 0367. All right. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0348, Jillian Carr versus Town Clerk, Town of Trumbull et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Jillian Carr? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, this was a dismissal. Seeing neither party's present, I move it off to the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Farish.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci.
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby Wells.
Yes.
Mr. Ganswin.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0349, Martin Rutt versus Land Use Inspector, Town of Prospect et al. Are you there, Mr. Rutt? Is someone here from the Town of Prospect?
Yeah, and good afternoon, Commissioner. Attorney David Hardy on behalf of the respondent. The complainant has filed a written response to the decision. The respondents, while not agreeing with all the findings in the decision, did not object to the commission's adoption of the proposed decision.
And you're Attorney David Harden?
Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y.
D-Y. And you do not object to the adoption of this decision?
That's correct.
Is Martin Rutt there?
Hi, Commissioners. Paula Perlman, I was the hearing officer in this matter. I have two minor revisions. First, to paragraph 19 and the last nine, I cited to section 1-120A, and that should be 1-210A. And also in paragraph 25 and the last line, I referenced paragraph 22, Roman numeral IA. It should actually be paragraph 23, Roman numeral IA.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I would like to make an amendment to the hearing officer's report in the two spots that the hearing officer has noted.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded to amend based on Attorney Perlman's recommendations. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call on the motion to amend alone. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Buzeschi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby Wells.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswein.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Paul Egan. Yes. Amendment passes unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the amended hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor of this decision as amended. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeschi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby Wells.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswein.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Perlman.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2023-0357, Linnell Jones versus Senior Planner, Planning and Zoning Department, City of Norwalk, et al. Is there anyone here from the City of Norwalk? Is Linnell Jones here? Would you like to be heard, Ms. Jones?
Yes, please.
Okay, we'll mark that ready. Is there anyone here from the City of Norwalk? Thank you. We'll mark that ready and we'll call it. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0358, Keith Massimino versus Vincent Testa, Town Councilor, Town of Wallingford, et al. Is Keith Massimino here? Is there anyone here from the Town of Wallingford?
Yes, Attorney Jane is small. I don't have any comments.
I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. Seeing that there's no objection to the complaint, and I move adoption of the motion.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeschi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby Wells.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswein.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0383, CJ Mazaki, PhD versus Marshall Porter, Chief Police Department, Town of Glastonbury, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
I am Mozart.
Hi, sir. Thank you. Would you like this marked ready?
Yes, sir.
You'd like to be heard. We'll mark it ready. Is there anyone here from the Town of Glastonbury?
Yeah. Attorney Rich Roberts on behalf of the respondents.
Thank you, Attorney Roberts. We'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0420, Andre Ruiz versus Chairman, Board of Education, Greenwich Public Schools, et al. Is Andre Ruiz here, please? Is there anyone here from the Greenwich Public School System or from Greenwich?
Yes. Assistant Town Attorney Abby Wadler for the respondents.
requesting that the commission consider adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Thank you. I'll call Andre Ruiz again. Do you know where Mr. Ruiz is, counselor?
No, I haven't been contacted by him.
Okay, thank you. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. Seeing that the complaint is not here and there's no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee Wells.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Weber. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0439, Mark Lemke versus Town Clerk, Town of Westport et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Mr. Chairman, no one's here on that matter. Attorney Murphy was informed of that. I'm the hearing officer. I'm Commissioner Hankins. I was hearing officer on that. And I have an amended appendix to the hearing officer's report. There was an appendix. I would request that it be amended. There are about 20 different revisions. The revisions are basically, I would say, Scrivener errors were so small, it wouldn't make any difference whatsoever, hardly. And I have them, but there are about 20 of them. And they're kind of numerous to go through. I don't know if, Attorney Smara actually went through these. If the commission wants to talk to him about them, if they're, minute changes.
Do they have to be read into the record, or could they be attached?
Well, I think you need to amend because there was an original appendix attached to the report. So if you're going to amend the appendix, we need to take a vote. But maybe Attorney Samara can just give us some larger indication of what those are.
So I prepared an amended appendix for the commissioner in a second.
Should we mark one officially as an exhibit? Have it.
Not an exhibit, because it's just an amendment to the report.
Okay.
These are really references to the in-camera records.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I would recommend that we mark this ready and take this up later in the docket. Give us time to look at these.
I second Commissioner Gansman.
Okay. Why don't we do that? Thank you for giving us this. That's great. We'll have an opportunity to look at it. Thank you. All right. So, next is docket number FIC 2023-0641, Pierre Obas versus Chief Police Department, Town of Bethel et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Pierre.
Yes, sir.
Pierre.
How do I pronounce your last name, sir?
Obas.
Obas, okay. We'll mark that ready then, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here from the Town of Bethel? Okay, thank you. All right, great. Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
As the Chairman indicated, these proceedings are being recorded in their entirety. There's no need to request a recording, and we will make the recording in its entirety available on our website. Anyone who has any trouble accessing that, please let us know. And pursuant to our regulations, oral arguments 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. The first matter that's been marked ready is FIC 2023-0190, Thomas Green versus Superintendent of Schools, Wyndham Public Schools et al. Thank you. Will the parties please identify themselves for the record, starting with you, sir?
Hello, my name is Thomas John Green.
Thank you.
And Attorney Julie Resnick on behalf of the respondents.
Thank you. Attorney Resnick, Mr. Green, would you like to begin, please?
Yes. Should I stand?
No. You can say thank you for asking.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you all today. My name is Thomas John Green. I'm a certified teacher in the state of Connecticut. I'm certified to teach math, physics, general science, and earth science for grades 7 to 12. I was inspired to pursue a career in education by my grandfather, Thomas Andrews Morrison, former college professor, my grandmother, Sandra Ann Morrison, a former elementary school teacher, my mother, Barbara Ann Green, a former teacher's aide, and most of all, my father, John Shugrue Green, a retired high school math teacher. In fact, I even had my father as a teacher when I was in high school at Woodstock Academy in 2009. I'm here before you today because I submitted a request for, quote, the pay step and years of experience for the employees at Wyndham Public Schools at the beginning of the school year for 2022-2023 and the pay step for all employees at the end of the school year, end quote. This request was made on May 25th, 2023. This is about 398 days ago. In response, on June 28th, Ms. Martinez, formerly Ms. Sanchez, provided me with a document titled, quote, placement for 2023-2023, parentheses, year one of WFT contract, close parentheses. This document was created after May 25th, 2023, and does not state pay step and years of experience for any employees at Wyndham Public Schools. In addition to the placement for 2022-2023 document, I received a document titled FOI request T.Green-WFT member salary placement hire date 6.20232. This document contained the following column titles: last name, first name, job class code, it says DESC, but I assume that means description, location code, DESC, hire date, grade slash rank, step slash level, and annual pay. The witnesses for the respondents testified this document was created after they received my request on May 25th, 2023. One of the witnesses for the respondents testified on October 5th, there were documents that contained information about years of work experience at Wyndham High School that were not provided to me. On June 28, 2023, I responded to the original email and stated, you have not provided me with the information I requested in my FOIA request, and quoted my entire FOIA request, ending the email with my type name, Thomas J. Green. Ms. Martinez replied the same day with, hello, Thomas. As I mentioned in my email below, Wyndham Public Schools' payroll system runs off a live system, so we do not have information related to step placement in September. Ms. Martinez also testified to this in the hearing on October 5th, 2023. One of the witnesses for the respondents testified on October 5th that the information provided is kept on file and that she used these files to create the new documents provided to me. My final response to the email was, quote, as I have stated, you have not provided me with the full FOIA request. I have provided you with specific information I was requesting. I will seek further steps to obtain my full FOIA request. Thank you, Thomas Green, end quote. I did not receive another response to this email thread after this email. I have worked at different schools, and in each school, I have requested access to my personnel file. I have been advised to look at my personnel file at least once a year to see what it contained. I have followed this advice. I have inspected my personnel file at all schools I have worked at. At the previous schools that employed me, the information related to salaries of all employees was accessible, so there was never a need to specifically request this information at those schools. When I was hired at Wyndham Public Schools, I was sent an official letter with my pay step included in the letter. This letter was kept in my personnel file at Wyndham Public Schools. I know this because I had requested a copy of my personnel file in the winter of 2023, and a copy of my offer letter was included. This copy was from Wyndham Public Schools records. When I was offered to work another year at Wyndham Public Schools, I was sent an email with an offer letter for my pay and pay step at the beginning of the 2023-2024 school year. This letter was also kept in my personnel file at Wyndham Public Schools. My salary was changed at Wyndham Public Schools in the middle of the school year, which was not agreed to by me. Salary agreements for the public school teachers are year-long agreements that are normally offered each year. One of the witnesses for the respondents testified that many people change their pay steps throughout the year. Yet, in the evidence they provided, there are only 6 pay step changes out of the hundreds of employees. The witnesses for the respondents also testified that these changes were only due to error in initial placement. I had a meeting in March that was to discuss salary placement, March of 2023. When meeting with Ms. Martinez in March to discuss this, she directed me to a portion of the contract as a reasoning for lowering my salary. When I took out my copy of the contract I had brought with me, I asked which page it was located on. She directed me to the page. I showed her the page and asked her to point at the portion she was referring to. She then told me that it was not there. When I stated it was not in the contract, as she previously claimed, Ms. Martinez said, no, you are not. You are incorrect. It is in the contract. It is just unwritten in the contract. So her statement to me had changed when asked to show me with a physical copy of the contract. When Ms. Martinez was testifying on October 5th, 2023, she testified that the placement for 2022-2023, year one of WFT contract document, was used for my placement on pay steps when I was offered a position in the spring of 2022. She later testified that the document was not created until the end of the 2022-2023 school year, which started in September of 2022 and ended in June of 2023. Ms. Martinez testified that she had provided the document prior to June 28, 2023 to me. When asked to look at the evidence emails under questioning, she stated the document was provided on June 28th. In reference to documents provided on or about September 21st, 2023, one witness for the respondent stated it took her hours to create the documents, but did not provide any time cards or evidence of this. This witness for the respondents testified that it took a very short time to create the documents provided on June 28th. This witness also testified there is information about years of working experience at Wyndham that were not provided. In regards to information on all employees being provided, Ms. Martinez testified that my name is Thomas Green, Jr. She had testified that she reviewed my personnel file and was familiar with me, yet she has testified that my name is different than my actual name. Ms. Martinez testified that my father's name is Thomas Green and that he was employed at Wyndham Public Schools at the time of my FOI request. When asked how she knew my father's name was Thomas Green, she stated that I had told her that my father's name was Thomas Green. My father's name is John Shagrew Green, as I stated during my introduction. He was hired at Wyndham Public Schools in the early 1990s. Ms. Martinez testified that my father's file was on Applitracks. Applitracks is an application that allows prospective teachers to submit documents when they are being hired or applying for jobs. Applitracks is a company owned by Frontline LLC, established in 1998. The company did not exist prior to my father being hired at Wyndham Public Schools. I also explained in my introduction that my father was my teacher when I went to Woodstock Academy in 2009. My father just retired from Woodstock Academy after working there since 2005. My father has not been employed at Wyndham Public Schools for about two decades. The witnesses for the respondents testified that all teachers at Wyndham Public Schools had their salaries restructured between the 2021-2022 and 2022-2023 school year with a new contract. This contract has a line regarding step placement for new teachers that new employees may not be placed on a higher step than a current employee with the same years of experience. This statement shows respondents rely on years of experience information to place new hires. To summarize, information testified to not exist does in fact exist. The respondents' witnesses have testified to creating documents from existing documents after the FOIA request and providing newly created documents, not documents that already existed. The witnesses for the respondent provided changing testimony throughout the hearing without providing an explanation for the change of testimony. There was information provided to me after the respondents had repeatedly told me it did not exist. And they were only provided after they received confirmation that FOIA that there was a hearing scheduled. Also, the information not provided by the respondents is information their contract states is used for placement of new hires. I've been waiting for over a year to receive the requested documents, and I've still not received them. I thank you for your time, and I hope that you will find my argument compelling.
Thank you,
counsel.
Sure, so good afternoon. Again, my name is Julie Resnick. And we are requesting full adoption of the hearing officer's report this afternoon. Wyndham did fully and promptly comply with the FOI request that was submitted by Mr. Green on May 25th, who's a former employee of the district, as Mr. Green referenced. This is one of several FOI requests that were made, as Mr. Green referenced, in response to the district's discovery that Mr. Green was inadvertently placed on the wrong step of the salary schedule. And so that's what prompted a number of FOI requests. And so the one at issue in this case is his request for a copy of the pay stub for years of service for the employees at Wyndham Public Schools at the beginning of the 22-23 school year, and then the pay stub for all employees at the end of the 22-23 school year. So that request was made prior to the end of the 22-23 school year. And so at that time, there were no records with regard to the conclusion of the school year in existence at the time. But nevertheless, once the school year concluded within the next 2 weeks, the district did provide responsive records that it maintained by extracting data from a database. And that was on June 28th. At the time, the district didn't believe that it had maintained any pay stub data from the beginning of the 22-23 school year after conducting a search, because it was all in that live system. However, the district's director of finance later found an export, but he came across a pay stub data from the beginning of the 22-23 school year, and then they promptly provided that information to Mr. Green in September of 2023. Originally, the district provided information regarding teacher pay stub data because of the incident that prompted a number of these FOI requests, given that Mr. Green was inadvertently placed on the wrong step. And then as part of his complaint, Mr. Green had alleged that it was all employee pay stub information that he was looking for. However, the district was not aware that that was the scope of his request, and based on communications that they had with him, thought that the scope of the request was just with regard to teachers. However, the district did supplement its production after reading the complaint that was filed in this case, and did provide pay stub information regarding all of its employees in the district. And had Mr. Green brought it to the attention of the district prior to filing the complaint, the district would have been happy to expand the scope and provide information with regard to the other employees. The respondents do not maintain a record reflecting the years of service for the employees at the beginning of the 22-23 school year. And outside of that item, all of the responsive records have been provided in a prompt manner. And so the district has fully complied and in a prompt manner with regard to the records that it does have in response to this request, and that it does maintain. Wyndham feels that it's complied in good faith with this request, and for these reasons believes that the hearing officers reached the right decision in this case and asks that the decision be fully adopted.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions? I have a question.
Sure.
Do you maintain pay stub data in the individual files of employees?
So my understanding is that it's just on the live system. And so they had to extract information, and because it was in real time, there was at the time no information with regard to that, the pay stub item.
I don't know what that means. It's in a live system.
It's in
Let me explain it to you.
Sure.
I have a file, and my file, it consists of hard paper in a file and also data that's on a computer. That's my file, my employment file, correct?
Correct.
And so if I ask you for that file, I want to see a copy of my employment file, you provide me with the hard copies in the file, and you provide me with the data that's on this whatever computer.
Mm-hmm.
So my logic goes as follows. If he's asking you for those records on employees, I'm asking you, do you maintain pay stub data on other employees like you maintained for Mr. Green?
Other employees meaning other employees who are not teachers, or...
I mean,
if there's a step schedule, then yes, there will be pay stub data with regard to other employees as well. But I think it was the timing piece that he was looking for step data with regard to a certain time frame at the beginning of the year. And that's typically something that would be captured, you know, in real time on that database. And so they would only be able to extract that, you know, at the time that the request was made, which they were able to do.
So if he makes the request now, he could get much more data.
In real time, if he wanted information with regard to today, then yes, that could be extracted. And it was only because we uncovered that export back from September 2022 that they were able to retrieve that pay stub information from early on in the 22-23 school year.
So what's to stop him from just making that request now? He would get all the records he wants?
Well, so with regard to the pay stub information, that has all been provided. So that is...
that's compliant with respect to the request. The only outstanding item is the years of service, which the district just doesn't have a document that reflects the years of service responsive to the request. So everything else has been provided to Mr. Green with regard to the pay step
information. What years are we talking about?
This is all with respect to the 22-23 school year. That's the scope of the information request.
You don't have that information, pay step data on that?
The pay step data has all been provided from the 22-23 school year with regard to teachers and other employees who the pay step information would be relevant to because they're on a step schedule. Okay. So again, it's the only that years of service item that the district just doesn't maintain a record reflecting that information that would be responsive to the request.
Years of number of years of service?
Correct. Years of experience, thank you, yes.
But wouldn't that be maintained in every individual's file? When I started working for you, you know when I stopped. Years of service could be calculated. I don't understand that. You know when I started to work for you.
I mean, that would be something that, you know, the pay step information kind of tracks, you know, your placement in terms of where you are, but... I think that the district did testify that it didn't have any record that did reflect, you know, the years of service that person had been to the district.
I still don't understand why not. They know when Mr. Green started, and they know that he's still working there. So you do have data that says the number of years of service he had.
Mr. Chair, I'm very confused. I go to work at a place, including a school system in particular, where part of pay scales are based on years of service, health, everything is based on years of service. See, part of the union, how can you not have, I say, there's my colleague Joe. How many years of service does Joe have? There's something not translated here. I'm sure we're missing something.
That's the thing.
I think I can help because years of service might not only be the time that you've spent in the district. It could be years of service that you've had elsewhere as well. And so that might also be captured in where you're placed on the step schedule. And so I think that is what the district is getting at, that we aren't able to provide a document that reflects, you know, the years of service in terms of past service and the date of hire at the district.
But again, it's multiple documents because you would have to prove to the individual, whoever it may be, whether it's Mr. Green or me or Mr. Fuseschi, if you would have to prove to me, this is why I'm being paid this amount. If I argued and said, no, I've got 18 years of service and you say you've only got 15, you're using some evidence to show that I only have 15. I'm not following.
I think that I've shared what the district's witnesses had to, you know, testify to, and I don't know if the hearing officer has any anything that she would like to add, but the district did testify credibly that, you know, a search was conducted in terms of responding to this particular request at the specific time frame of the beginning of the 22-23 school year. It didn't maintain any record that was responsive to that particular item.
How would they prove years of service?
Years of experience, sir.
Years of experience rather than years of service. Well, I think that's the challenge, right, is that there's not a document that is going to outline.
There might be several documents. How would they prove it? It's in the person's personnel file. When they started and when they stopped, or that they grabbed military service and they used that as part of their... whatever, their step. It's in their file, right?
Again, I think that it doesn't answer the bigger picture of why someone is placed on a particular step in light of the whole background of why, you know, where somebody worked previously, what their years of experience are in the education system.
But years of service could be calculated based on data in the personnel file, correct?
Not really. It doesn't answer the question of years of experience just based on a document like that in and of itself without the full picture.
I'm still not clear. I'm not clear on your answer.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Goldsby-Wells.
Mr. Goldsby-Wells, so I think there's two issues that I'm hearing from what you're saying. And when someone makes an FOI request, we cannot, nor should we, try to analyze why and what the purpose or the reason of the information is. So I hear you, even in your answer to the chairman's question, you're assuming that the reason why he's requesting this information is because he also requested the pay stub. And so because there was an error with his pay stub, that that's why he's asking it. But his request is very clear. And even the fact that the district didn't initially send him all employees, it says all employees. He doesn't say all teachers. His request says all employees. And it says specifically that he wants the years of experience for the employees at Wyndham Public Schools. I don't understand where there's, I suppose there could be a confusion when you read it potentially, where you, when you read that, you think years of experience prior to getting at, but I think when I read this, to me, he's asking for how many years of experience has that particular employee had at that public school. And you can't tell me, as the chairman has said, that the records for a particular employee does not say this employee started on this date and they are currently employed. So how many years have they worked there? That should be in the file. You're telling me that they don't have that information?
Well, first, I think there were two pieces to what you just said, so I would like to answer the first piece just with regard to the employees in terms of the scope of the request. Yes, I did. I raised the context at which some of these requests were prompted, but also there was some communications between the district and Mr. Green about the request. And so based on those communications, there was testimony that it was the district's understanding that he was just looking for teacher pay stub information. And so that's why that was the understanding with regard to scope. I think that I've answered the question with regard to years of experience to the extent that I can, but the district did diligently search its records, and in terms of the request itself, deemed that there are no records that are responsive to the particular request for years of experience.
And I find it incredulous that there's no records, because you would have to support that. If you're telling me that this person has 15 years of experience, whether that he or she grabbed them from some other work source, and then they had three from another work source, and then 12 with your organization, you would have data, not you, I know it's not you, your client would have data in their files. I don't know whether it's on one piece of paper or 15 pieces of paper, but there would be evidence in their personnel file that would answer that question that Mr. Green was posing.
Mr. Chairman,
so, yes,
Commissioner Shreve. So I find it. I disagree with the chairman. I think that this is a case where there is no existing record, and the chairman seems to think that the district should have to go into everybody's file and create a document that
I do not. I'll let you finish.
He's saying that you go into these files and create a document to get this information. I don't think that, this year's experience, I think it was properly, explained. And I think that the hearing officer, I think rightly found that this, this was not an issue before that should be before us, that, we're not going to be making a document, that there's no existing document regarding this. And, I'll let the chairman say, but if he's incredulous that, he's in support of it, I would guess I'm incredulous that he would take that step opposite.
What I'm saying is not that. I'm not saying create a document. I'm saying if there's 15 documents in John Smith's file that answers this question, then those 15 documents should be discovered or disclosed. I'm not asking them to write down, well, John Smith worked 3 years at this organization, 12 years for our organization, and here you go, Mr. Green, you worked 15 years for us. Here's John Smith's documentation that he started. Here's John Smith's documentation that he worked at this organization and so forth. And here's the proof that he's still with us. It's all there in the personnel file. So if he's asked for those records, he should get them.
Times 1,500 employees. So you're going into individual.
Oh, I understand employees. That, but it's a records request.
To create a record that doesn't exist.
He's not asking. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that's misstating what I'm saying. I'm not saying to create a record that doesn't exist. So, yes, Mr. Yeah. Gansford.
This is Commissioner Gansford. Could we hear from the hearing officer?
Sure.
I'd like to hear how she came to.
I've been waiting. I've been chomping at the bit here. Danielle McGee, I was the hearing officer in this matter. respectfully, Attorney Resnick wasn't at the hearing. She's here. I think we have a colleague, another attorney from the firm here, so maybe she's not as clear on the evidence that was presented. And I did listen to the recording again this morning, so I think I can weigh in on this a bit. It's not as if the respondents did not provide data reflecting the hire date and the service date so that years of experience within the district cannot be determined. That data was provided. The problem here is that Mr. Green asked broadly for years of experience that the respondents interpreted as meaning total experience beyond their time in district. So for example, if a person has been working in the district for 20 years and you pull their personnel file and 20 years ago you're looking at all the information that was available to determine years of experience when they're making a determination about hiring, what did that person who was hiring at the time factor into years of experience? Was that person previously a substitute teacher in another district? Was that person a tutor for a private company? So years of experience goes well beyond a person's time in the district. So just to be clear, the respondents did provide, I wrote down here, a spreadsheet that included the hire date within their school district for every employee, among other data points, and perhaps I could have put that in the report and maybe that would have clarified things a little bit better. And then another spreadsheet that provided the service date for all employees in the district, which would be the date in which employees who were union employees became unionized employees within the district. So they did provide data to calculate quote unquote years of experience for a person's time as an employee in that district. They just did not take the step, which I think is what Attorney Resnick was going to, of pulling the file, looking at the material that was available to whomever made a determination at the time to hire this person, what experience they had at that time that may or may not have been factored into quote unquote years of experience. That was the testimony that the respondents provided to me about what they provided and why they weren't able to go beyond what they provided. And at the hearing, Mr. Green didn't refute that or clarify that he was looking for anything different. My understanding of what he was looking for was how the school district calculated total years of experience for these people beyond their time in the district. I think that's the challenge. And I'll just state that I did find the testimony of the respondent's witness credible about why she only provided teacher data in June. Again, this is coming off of the March meeting where it became known that Mr. Green was placed on the wrong pay staff and they were going to change his pay. And so from that time, the testimony was, and again, Mr. Green did not rebut this, that he was focused on collecting information about teachers in the district, not employees generally. And I truly believe that when she read the request, her mind went straight to teachers. So they, within 2 weeks of the end of the school district, provided that teacher data. And then once they got notice of the complaint in August, they then went back and pulled more data and provided employee-wide data in less than a month. So I thought that given those circumstances, the credibility of the witness, I didn't feel like they were trying to hide the ball or be misleading anywhere, that they were careless in responding. I thought that they did what they were supposed to act promptly and made several attempts to provide whatever they could to Mr. Green. I think the problem is that the phrase years of experience, it was interpreted very broadly beyond what they had available to them, and they don't have a data point that would take into consideration what someone 5, 10, 20 years ago may have considered constituted years of experience for placement of a person.
This is Commissioner Hankins.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes, thank you, Attorney. Yeah, I think that illuminated.
I hope so.
It almost seems that when you were talking a little bit, that going into each teacher's file would be almost like creating documents. Would that be fair to say?
I think that was one of the arguments that was raised, not only creating documents, but that the language that the witnesses used was that they would have to speculate about what the person at the time made a determination, how they made their determination about years of experience based on the information that was in front of them, whether they would have to go talk to people who may have retired who were the ones making the decision at the time. So it was a kind of a combination of we'd have to create a record and we'd also have to do research and exercise discretion to come up with a number to give Mr. Green.
What's one of them?
And they did say if Mr. Green had asked to look at the files of every employee and look at their resumes and try to come up with his own calculation, they certainly would allow him to do that. That wasn't before me. And I'll just note also, I think Mr. Green mentioned his personnel file, just to clarify, that wasn't at issue before me in this particular case, but I do know there was testimony that during this time there were multiple requests pending and being worked on.
This is all Hagen. They actually did create records for Mr. Green.
What they were able to do is they have databases that store all kinds of employee information. They have a database called by the name of Munis, where they were able to extract data from different locations from the database and put it together into these different spreadsheets. So they didn't have to go into personnel files to pull pay stub information. They had that readily accessible, and they provided that at the time of the request. But where it got a little dicey is that, as Attorney Resnick said, the testimony is that this database is a live system, and that because of the nature of education, teachers are coming and going, employees are coming and going. So if you were to pull data on today for all employees out of Munis, it could be different from data 2 weeks from now. And that's also why they, two reasons why they waited is the request came in May 25th and Mr. Green wanted data as of the end of the school year. So the witness testified, we kind of had to wait until the school year was over to pull the data at the time he wanted it. And they weren't able to pull data retrospectively. What ended up happening was they had done a prior extraction for budget purposes. They located that extraction in a different set of files under sort of the budget purview. And when they located that information, they used that to give Mr. Green the data from the fall so he could line it up with the data at the end of the school year and put that together. So I wouldn't say that's creating a record, because I cite to 1-211, that's the provision about electronically stored data. And I think based on the testimony that I had, I think that's why I dropped it in a footnote, because it seemed to me that what they needed to do was go into the database and pull data, tell the database what they needed, and they were able to pull it out. They had to do some moving around in Excel and put everything together, but I didn't view that as creating a record. But I think if they had to try to figure out years of experience, that would be creating a record and probably research.
It baffles me that they don't have a standard for years of experience. It sounds like, well, for some people, we used a different criterion for determining years of experience, and for others, we use this criterion. And you might have to get the criterion for that one from somebody who retired, and you might have to get the criterion for this one for somebody who's here. It sounds it's not standard. Most businesses, most schools, I would think, would have a standard way of determining number of years of experience and why we give you a certain pay. And I don't really care about the issue of pay. I care about the discovery of records. But he had asked for one file on Julie Jones, and he wanted to see her personnel file so he could determine what her years of experience were. He would have gotten that file, correct?
I think he could have accessed the file. I don't know if it would have said there would be a number recorded in the file of years of experience based on the testimony that was presented in the case.
The school has really not a hard and fast rule regarding this is how we're going to determine years of experience.
And to your point, Mr. Chairman, I think based on the testimony I received, that could very well be the case, and maybe that is an issue, but I don't see that that's
right.
The commission's issue.
But I
take your point. Totally.
I understand. Thank you. Does anybody else have anything to say? Mr. Green, did you want to say anything?
Yeah, so from the perspective of a teacher, the contract was negotiated, and what they did is they shifted the pay steps. They redid the whole pay step structure because people were capping out, and so they weren't reaching equitable pay for other districts in the state. And so they had restructured in the year 2021-2022, so the year before I applied and was hired at Wyndham Public Schools. And then when I came into the district, the union told us that when they had negotiated that everyone's pay step had been reviewed, everyone's years of experience had been reviewed, and they had been moved on the pay scale based on their years of experience. And that was their explanation as to why in the contract on the final page it stated a new hire cannot be placed at a higher step than someone with the same years of experience, because they didn't want this new structure to all of a sudden new teachers will come in with the same years of experience and be placed many steps ahead.
So do you understand what...
So my understanding is that they had to create those documents and assess every single, at least teacher, in order to create that and restructure the entire pay step. So that's my understanding, is that they would have had those documents, especially to compare for hiring new people.
Mr. Chairman, if I
yes.
may, just for the record, again, I just listened to the recording. I don't believe any of what Mr. Green has just spoken about is even in the record. And quite frankly, a lot of what he was part of his introduction is not a part of the record in the case. So
Attorney McGee is just reminding us that the only thing that can be argued here is things that were on the record. And the focus of this commission is just on the discovery of records. You're not trying to determine whether they were just in what they did to you or whether they were unjust. It's do you get the records or not?
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
I'm just a high school teacher. I'm not a lawyer, anything like that. I was very nervous coming in that day. And there were moments where I asked if I should speak up in those moments, and I was directed not to in certain moments. And so I was waiting. And then I don't know how this works. So I apologize if I said stuff that I shouldn't have said in this as well.
There's nothing that prohibits you from making another records request from this respondent.
Okay, thank you.
There's nothing that you can narrow your scope and say, I'd like these records of these three individuals so that you can do whatever you need to do with those records.
Mm-hmm.
This is Commissioner Hankins.
Yes, Commissioner Hankins.
I was gainfully employed by the Connecticut Education Association, which is not part of Wyndham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can speak more freely about it. But placement on a salary schedule is incorrect, correct, paid too much, paid too little. It's always nasty. You know what I mean? It's just tough. And to try to find out, you know, where you are is a morass. Okay, it's a spider's web, and it's very difficult. So, you know, my hat's off to you. Trying. Did you have the union help you with that?
My union was actually the one that pushed for my pay to be cut because they felt I was. They said, and I quote, "You're too young to be making so much money."
Okay, that's fine. I guess I shouldn't ask the question. I don't know, but that makes it even tougher. Okay, so you know, I don't know what to tell you, but I mean, it's very difficult to worry about the placement schedules. I know that the union meets sometimes, union paid folks meet with the management to figure out where everybody should go, and they find out the people are being paid less or more. So it always comes to bite people at the midpoint of the year.
And again, I've worked at other school districts, and every school district that I've worked at before had the information available for me.
Do you understand what Attorney McGee explained to this commission? The data that you were providing, I think we were privy to the data.
Yeah, my understanding was that that's where I said the last name, first name, class, and all that stuff. And then it wasn't until after the initial, so my hearing date was moved under their request, and it wasn't until after that initial hearing date that was supposed to have been passed that they created a new document. And then it wasn't until, I think, maybe within the week of my actual hearing that they provided another document, but they still hadn't provided the years of experience or stated why that was not being provided. I just, as a taxpayer in a town, I feel that this information that should be public should be available to people.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move it off to the Harris Board.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeschi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby-Wells.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Thank you.
Thank you again, everybody.
Good luck.
Thank you, Attorney.
I respect to all the parties here. That was it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
I learned a lot.
I did too.
Thank you.
All right. So the next is docket number FIC 2023-0367, next is docket number FIC 2023-0334, Elijah Alhaj Bey, Services Department Head, Procurement, City of Hartford, et al. Mr. Bey. parties identify themselves for the record, please, starting with you, sir?
Yes. Ahaz Bey.
Thank you.
Attorney Danielle Cohn for the City of Hartford.
Thank you. So, Mr. Ahaz Bey, would you like to begin?
Excuse me?
Would you like to begin?
Yes. Excuse me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity for you. My name is Elijah Ahaz Bey. I'm a retired employee of the City of Hartford, division manager, started business for 30 years. I bid on contracts with various contractors through the state, water company, all utility companies in Connecticut. So this particular project was pertaining to the Hartford Hotel renovations, supposed to be a $76 million renovation. I met with the contractor who basically told me that the only reason he was meeting with me is because I was a minority. I said, is that the only reason? He said, yes. So I said, then we don't need to have a conversation any longer. So he said, wait a minute, you know. He said, maybe you not understanding what I said. I said, I understand clearly what you said. The only reason you're meeting with me is because I'm a minority. I'm offended by that. So he said, well, if you look at the contract, okay, your price came in at this. This is what we want to offer you, from $400,000 down to $215. He said, we cut out a lot of stuff. So right there, that's telling me you padded the bill in order to inflate the project to get more money. So he said, if you can do this project for this price, we'll give it to you. So I reviewed it just to make sure what he was saying was true in writing. And then I sent him back the original price that I had given him, said that you are padding the project. Okay. So then I informed the City of Hartford as to what was transpired under Title VI. Okay. Mrs. Gamble was not in at that time. So I wrote to her again, asking her, you know, filing a Title VI complaint. When she got from vacation, she emailed me back and said, oh my gosh, you know, I have received tons of emails pertaining to this situation. So I'm like, how would you receive information from other people when I'm the complainer? Okay. So I said, can you forward me all of these complaints? So she said, well, I turned it over to my supervisor to see what she's going to say, and she's getting an opinion from the Corporation Council. Now, mind you, they still have not addressed my complaint. Then I received a call from Mrs. Harrison, the director of the department, stating that she met with the Corporation Council. And from what the Corporation Council opinion stated was, the City of Hartford is not responsible for Title VI complaints, so they could not handle a Title VI complaint. I said, wait a minute. This is your form. This is how your procedures on filing Title VI complaints. So she's like, well, we never done anything like that before. This is the first time ever that we have received a Title VI complaint. But we can't do anything about it because this is a lease agreement only. And I said, what does that mean? She mean that we cannot investigate a Title VI complaint because this is only for leasing. So we do not put any money into that project. So I said, well, can I get a copy of that? She said, well, you have to file a Freedom of Information request, which I did. Okay. She then responded through their system. They have a system that you go through and file a Title VI complaint. I did not receive it, so I filed the complaint again, okay, through their system. Still haven't heard back from them. Then she said, well, I turned this matter over to Capital Region Development Authority because they are responsible for providing the funding for the project. So I said, really? So I said, can I get a copy of that? No, can't give you a copy of that. So I wrote to Capital Region, the regional department, and got no response from them. So then in the meantime, I filed a Freedom of Information complaint. And like I said, they've been stalling for all the time until Freedom of Information wrote and saying that we have, you know, jurisdiction and we will do a follow up on your complaint. So that's when they send me information that did not pertain to what I requested. They said the lease agreement states that you can, they do not have jurisdiction be, or do not have any authority to file a Title VI complaint because it's a lease agreement only. But in the meantime, they send me another email, unaware what they send me, where it stated that the city of Hartford have given them a $7 million loan. Okay. So one, you financed the project. Two, the lease agreement that you gave me did not state or indicate that you cannot file or we cannot, do not have the authority of a Title VI complaint. So the information that they were sending me had no bearing on to what I was complaining about.
Good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is Attorney Danielle Combs, and I'm here in place of Attorney Spies, who unfortunately was not able to make it today. But essentially, where the city stands is that, of course, the Title VI complaint for which Mr. El-Haj Bey has referenced is not before you today, nor was it ever before the hearing officer. This is the sole issue. The sole issue here is the records request for which Mr. El-Haj Bey has received all of the actual documents that he has requested up until this point. We don't necessarily have a position on the findings of the hearing officers, the decision and the fact that it was untimely filed. However, we do reiterate the fact that the complainant has complied with all requested records, and that includes the requested tax referral information for which Mr. El-Haj Bey has requested, and our provision of requested records was timely, and the hearing record and the testimony again supports this conclusion. We had witnesses testify that at the time of the request, the department was able to eventually comply with the request that Mr. El-Haj Bey had requested, and he never followed up with any sort of conveyance of a sense of urgency or anything of that nature. And as the hearing officer, Attorney Munn, had stated within his decision, we tested credibly to that effect and that we had complied with the request of Mr. El-Haj Bey.
The tax deferral information didn't exist?
I think that what Mr. El-Haj Bey was seeking was a sole document containing the title of tax deferral agreement, is my understanding, based on the reiterance of my colleague. And essentially, the information that he was looking for was contained within a lease agreement that we did provide to Mr. El-Haj Bey. It just was within the document rather than it being on its own in its own particular titled document of tax deferral agreement.
Do you see how they perceive that I am so naive that I don't know when I have established the criteria is what they follow when I was an employee of the city of Hartford. I was part of the commission that put it together, so I know exactly what I was asking for and received.
So you think there is a separate document entitled tax deferral document?
Right. So they said the tax deferred document states that they cannot investigate a Title VI complaint because they do not have any finances involved in the project, which is false. And there is nothing in that title, that lease agreement that states that. So I'm saying if it does not state that, which you told me that your reason why you could not follow a Title VI complaint, which states that if you receive any federal funding and you're discriminating against an employee, against their ethnicity, race, religion, whatever, then you have to investigate as a authority. So if you read that lease agreement, it has none of that language in it, which they saying that she got an opinion from the Corporation Council, and it's there's no kind of language in it. So I'm saying to them, can you show me in that lease agreement what you have told me? If not, then admit that you were telling, not telling the truth.
Thank you.
I can just reiterate the fact that the findings of the hearing officer has stated that, one, this was untimely filed, and two, that even if it was timely filed, we complied to the best of our ability, and we testified credibly to that effect.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Commissioner Hankins?
No, thank you.
Is the hearing officer here?
No, he is not here, but he did confer with me briefly on this, if you have a question.
Yeah, so this was dismissed, not on its merits, but based on the fact that it's outside our jurisdiction. Is that right? Or am
right. I think what happened is the hearing officer got, you know, pretty far into the hearing and got some evidence and then discovered that potentially there was a jurisdictional issue. And was compelled once he looked at that, and he gave opportunity to establish jurisdiction after that first hearing, and couldn't find jurisdiction. So as you know, if we can't find jurisdiction, we have to dismiss the complaint. But I think he did want to convey some of that evidence that he had received, and that he felt that the respondents had provided the information. I don't think he was really dealing with the substantive issues that Mr. El-Haj Bey is raising here, but I think he felt like they had attempted to comply. But nonetheless, he still had to just not rule on that basis, but to call for the dismissal.
Attorney Murphy, would you kindly explain to Mr. El-Haj Bey what that means, that jurisdictional issue means? It's sometimes difficult for lawyers to understand.
Right. So just as it's explained in the report, but just in order for us to entertain a complaint, it has to be filed here within 30 days of the time that there was a denial of access to something. So based upon when you filed with us, it was outside of that 30-day period. And it's a hard and fast rule, not one that we can be flexible on. So that is why the jurisdictional question came up and why ultimately he dismissed it. But I think he was trying to give you some findings in there in terms of, if we had jurisdiction, what he would have concluded.
So let me ask you a question.
Let me just follow up on what Attorney Murphy, hold your question for just a second. To cure that issue, you could just refile. If you felt, I didn't get, for instance, that tax deferral record agreement. I think counsel is saying she believes you did. You're saying you believe I did not. You could just refile. The exact right. Same request,
that's
saying,
read that. But let me ask you a question.
And
this
process would start again, and they would have to turn it over if it existed. If it didn't, you could come to us within the 30 days. So you could almost have abandoned this issue and start it all over again, because our hands
are tied.
Before
I do that, let me ask you a question. If you file a request for Freedom of Information and they acknowledged your request, does that toll that timeline?
I'm not sure. Is something like that happened in this case?
I think that did happen in this case, and usually to extend jurisdiction, if you could show that there had been communications after the acknowledgement alone, we would have been able to find jurisdiction. But that response time, the acknowledgement, would have started the process. It would have actually given you, it's technical, but it would have given you an additional 4 days from that time. So in this case, we just couldn't find that because there were no further communications among you to kind of extend the jurisdictional period. The acknowledgement can sometimes be unclear because they haven't technically said, no, we're not giving you records, but then again, they haven't given you records. So it's intended to give some flexibility, but you would have had to have shown some negotiation between that time period. Time you requested and the time you filed.
Any commissioners have anything to say?
No.
Anything else, sir?
Yes, sir.
Counsel?
That's it. Thank you.
I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move it off to the hearing officer's court.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain. Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee Wells?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you both very
much.
Thank you.
Those are the other
one. Yes. Oh, you've got the next one, so you can stay. Yes. Are you counsel on that one, too?
I'm only for Hartford, not East Hartford.
Okay, not East Hartford. Okay.
Not East Hartford.
Okay.
Pass the torch.
Thank you. So we're calling FIC 2023-0367, Elijah Elhaj Bey versus Director, Department of Public Works, Town of East Hartford, et al. And please identify yourself again for the record, sir.
Elijah Elhaj Bey.
Thank you.
And good afternoon, Attorney Robert Fitzgerald for respondents.
Thank you. Mr. Elhaj Bey, would you like to begin, please?
Yes. On August 19, 2021, we had received a storm, Fred, where you had flooding all over the city of Hartford, Bloomfield, West Hartford, Manchester. So East Hartford did not have any flooding. City of Hartford and East Hartford participate in what you call a flood retaining system, okay? City of Hartford has 6 pumping stations. East Hartford has 3. East Hartford, 3 pumping stations does not equal to 1 of Hartford. So Hartford flooded out completely. So right there, me being an employee of the supervisor manager of the city of Hartford, know the operation of the flood station. So I knew that there was a problem. I called a couple of employees from Hartford, asked them, are you in the pumping stations? They was told no. They were pulled out, which caused almost $586 million worth of damage during that time. Okay, so to get verification that Hartford was negligent, I went over to East Hartford and seen their employees pumping at that time. So I spoke to the supervisor there and asked them, what did you do, you know, to prevent the town of East Hartford from flooding? East Hartford said, well, we came in at like 12 o'clock at night and we pumped all day. So right there, I said, that's fine. So then Alex Trujillo, who used to also work for me at the city of Hartford, is now the director of public works in East Hartford. So I put in a freedom of information request asking for the man hours that they put into the pumping stations and how many stations that they have, because East Hartford did not flood. So they said that they had no records, all right, that they had no flooding. So right there, they provided me with information that the National Weather Report stated that there was flooding. So Manchester flooded out, Hartford flooded out, Wethersfield, Bloomfield, Windsor, and West Hartford. So I said, well, you must have had one big umbrella if you didn't get any flooding and everybody else got flooding. Something's going on here. So they withheld the records stating that there was no flooding. Okay. So that's highly impossible. Hartford would have not flooded out that way since 1934, where you have the elevation of the flooding posted on a plaque at City Hall, the elevation of flooding. So it's highly impossible. Like I say, I have received awards far as from the Army Corps of Engineering for no flooding. The flooding department of Hartford was dismantled to get rid of me. Okay, because I would not participate in corruption. I had exposed corruption with the Department of Public Works, which is ongoing to this day. So like I say, it was a reason why they did not pump in the pumping station. So I just needed the information telling how the East Hartford, which has 3 stations that does not equal to 1 of Hartford, did not flood and Hartford did. Hartford was being arrogant and saying, well, the elevation of the river was only at 6 feet, which does not require pumping. But they did not participate that the Park River has a north and south conduit. Okay, that's where the flooding come from, because the water was coming from Newington, West Hartford, with all the building. You have nowhere for the water to go, and MDC is currently building a 18-foot tunnel 30 feet down underground to divert the water, which is not being managed properly. So now they have spent $2 billion on this system that's not working. Now they're asking for extension plus another $250 million to try to correct some of the problems. So I'm seeing the East Hartford. It's funny that you have three other rivers coming in East Hartford that goes into the Connecticut River, and you receive no flooding. That's just ridiculous. So they have records that they did pump on the 18th, the 20th, and the 21st, but they do not have any records pertaining to the 19th.
Thank you. Sir?
We would respectfully request that this commission affirm the decision of the fact finder. A thorough hearing was held on this matter. Testimony was solicited. Evidence was entered. The crux of the issue is one of the components of the request made by the complainant was for a weather report. The Director of Public Works testified that the Public Works Department reached out to one of the town's vendors that compiles weather reports for the town, obtained the record, and if that was disclosed to the complainant. The crux of the complainant's argument is that because it was raining on that day and other towns were pumping, that necessitates that the town of East Hartford's pump stations were pumping. Testimony was given by the Director of Public Works at the hearing that just because it's raining and might be flooding in parts of town, that doesn't necessarily mean East Hartford's one of East Hartford's pump stations would become active. All of that testimony was thoroughly covered at the fact-finding hearing. And as the complainant just acknowledged, he subsequently made additional requests for other days. Records did turn up and were provided for. We would just ask that the commission affirm the fact finder, and specifically paragraph 15 of the fact finder's report in this matter indicates that in sum it is found that the respondents conducted a thorough search for responsive records in the location where such records would have been maintained if they existed. Specifically, the public works director testified that the pump logs are still old school, that there's binders in the actual pump stations, and then when the employees go in, they hand log what was done. It is further found that other than the weather report obtained from their vendor, the respondents do not maintain any records responsive to the request set forth in paragraph 2 above. That's a paragraph that delineates the request received by the town. Unless there's any questions from the commission, I have nothing further.
Could you just please state your name for the record?
Yeah. my name is Attorney Robert Fitzgerald.
Thank you, Attorney Fitzgerald. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for either of the parties? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move an option here on support.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Parrish?
Yes.
Mr. Kuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby Wells?
Yes.
Mr. Gansman?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Pony, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask for a brief recess?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Take a 5-minute break. Is that enough?
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely.